بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we began reading from Riyad al-Salihin, from the chapter of Al-Ikhlas wa Ihdar al-Niyyah, from the chapter of sincerity, وَإِحْضَارِ النِّيَّةِ, and having an intention. And we went through the three ayat which the author Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah mentioned. Firstly, the saying of Allah, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And they were not ordered except that they should worship Allah مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, making the acts of worship sincere for him. Hunafa, and that they should be people of tawheed away from ash-shirk. Wa yuqimu as-salah wa yu'tu az-zakah, and that they should establish the salah and give the zakah. Wa dhalika dinul qayyimah, and that is the religion which is upright, i.e. the religion of ikhlas, sincerity, and the religion of Tawheed. And then the second ayah which the author mentioned is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Hajj, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا, which means its meat and its blood does not reach Allah. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ, however the taqwa, the piety which is in your hearts, this is what reaches Allah. And this ayah was revealed in Surah Al-Hajj regarding the udhiyah, the slaughtering of the animals on Yawm al-Nahr or Eid al-Adha. And the Quraysh, who also used to perform Hajj before the coming of Islam, once they had slaughtered their animals, they would take something from the blood of the slaughtered animal and mark the idol with it. The idol or the god to whom they had slaughtered this animal, they would take its blood and they would mark the idol or their god with it. And perhaps they would take something from the meat of the animal and place it around the idol or around their god as a form of blessing, seeking blessing. And so Allah subhanahu in this ayah, He negated and He rebuked this action of the Quraysh, that the blood and the meat of the animal is no benefit to Allah subhanahu. Rather, this only benefits you, that you distribute the meat amongst yourselves and you benefit from the meat. But that which Allah looks towards and rewards is the taqwa, is the piety and the sincerity and the humility in front of Allah behind the action. And then the author mentioned the third ayah, in which Allah subhanahu says, قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. Say, whether you conceal that which is in your chests, or you manifest it, يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ, Allah knows of it. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and Allah knows that which is in the heavens and that which is upon the earth. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and Allah knows that which is in the heavens and that which is upon the earth. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, and Allah has complete ability over everything. So these three ayat, the author rahimullah, he mentioned them to emphasize the importance of sincerity and the intentions which are in your heart. And even though nobody else may be aware of your intention and your sincerity, however, Allah subhanahu is aware of your sincerity and the piety which is in your heart. And then after this, Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimullah, he began by mentioning the ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which relate to sincerity. And the first hadith he mentioned is the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And the author said, وَعَنْ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, upon the authority of the chief of the believers. Because Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is the second khalifa of the Muslims. And the khalifa of the Muslims is known as Amirul Mu'mineen. So he said, عَنْ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَبِي حَفْص, Umar ibn al-Khattab. And Abu Hafs is his kunya. And his name is Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, radiallahu anhu, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, actions are only according to their intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى, and for each person is only that which he intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, so whoever makes a hijrah, I migrates from one land to another land for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, then his hijrah, his migration is for Allah and His Messenger. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا, and whoever migrates from one land to another land, لِدُنْيَا, for a worldly benefit, أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا, or for the sake of a woman that he intends to marry, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ, then his hijrah, his migration, is according to that which he intended. And then Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَى صِحَّتِهِ, that this hadith, it is agreed upon its authenticity. And as a side benefit, when the scholars of hadith, when they say muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon, this means that this hadith, its authenticity has been agreed upon by the two greatest scholars of hadith, Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim rahimahumullah. And as you know, any hadith which is agreed upon by Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim, it is considered to be of the highest authenticity. So in Islam, firstly we have the Qur'an. And the Qur'an, of course, all of it is authentic. All of it is mutawatir. And then after this are the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his sayings and his actions and his approvals, they range between being authentic and being weak. So the authentic ahadith, sahih and hasan, they are acted upon and they are accepted. And the weak ahadith, and those which are fabricated, are not accepted. And even the authentic ahadith, they are of different levels and different gradings. And the most authentic hadith is that which Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam al-Muslim have agreed upon. And they are known as muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon. So this hadith, innamal a'malu bin niyat, verily actions are according to their intentions, this has been graded as being sahih, authentic, by both Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam al-Muslim. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he speaks about actions and intentions. When is an action valid? And when is a person rewarded for the action which he or she performed? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that actions are only according to their intentions, to the niyat, the intentions or the intention for which a person performed this action. So if the intention or the niyyah of a person is sincere, then the action is valid in front of Allah. And if the intention of a person is insincere, for example, a person intended showing off, or for people to praise him, or did not do it for the sake of Allah alone, then that action is not valid. It is rejected by Allah subhanahu. And Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from the people of at-taqwa, of piety and sincerity. So that which is sincere is valid and accepted by Allah if it fulfills other conditions. However, that which is insincere and does not have the correct intention behind it, it is not accepted by Allah subhanahu. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are only according to their intentions. Meaning actions are valid according to the valid intention, the sincere intention. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَىٰ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and each person is only rewarded according to that which he has intended. So if a person intended goodness and intended sincerity, he is rewarded for it. And if a person did not intend goodness and had an insincere intention, he is not rewarded for his action. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَىٰ. And each person is only rewarded for that which he or she intended. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave an example to make this principle clear. And this was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when teaching or educating the people, that often he would mention a principle and then he would mention an example, a real life example which is applicable and which the people can understand. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the example of hijrah. And as I mentioned, hijrah is migrating from one land to another land, traveling from one country to another country. And of course, people, they travel between countries for various reasons. And hijrah is one of the greatest acts of ibadah, of worship in our religion. That a person leaves the land or the country which he grew up in, and where his property is, and where his friends and acquaintances and family are, and for the sake of Allah, and hoping for the reward of the hereafter, this person migrates from this land to a different land. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions did. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they made hijrah from Makkah to Al-Madina. And Makkah was their homeland, where they were born, where they grew up, where their memories were, where their property and their wealth was, where their family and their relatives were. However, they left Makkah for the sake of Allah and moved to Al-Madina, because the people of Makkah at that time, they would not allow them to practice Islam. And before this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he allowed a number of the Sahaba to make hijrah from Makkah to Habasha, to Abyssinia, to preserve and in order for them to practice their Islam. And so two times a number of companions, they migrated from Makkah to Abyssinia. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave this example which the people will understand. He said, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. That whoever makes hijrah, whoever migrates from one land to another land for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. Meaning his intention behind making hijrah is to please Allah and His Messenger in order to practice His religion. The Prophet said, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Then his hijrah is for Allah and His Messenger. Meaning, the person who did an action like hijrah and did it with a sincere intention to please Allah subhanahu for the sake of his hereafter, the reward is written for him. فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The reward is written that he made hijrah for Allah and His Messenger. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a secondary example. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا. And if a person made hijrah, migrated from one land to another land, for a worldly benefit, like money, or education, or to set up a business, for example, أو امرأة ينكحها. And then a third example, a person makes hijrah for the sake of marriage. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. Then his hijrah is according to the intention of his hijrah. And notice the difference in wording between the examples which the Prophet ﷺ gave. So the first example the Prophet gave, he said, whoever makes hijrah for Allah and His Messenger, whoever has the sincere intention and makes the migration for Allah and His Messenger, his hijrah is written. It is for Allah and His Messenger. Meaning the reward of the akhirah is guaranteed for this person because his intention was sincere. And then in the ensuing two examples, he said, and whoever migrates for a worldly benefit or for the sake of marriage, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. His hijrah is for whatever he intended. And in this second and third example, the Prophet ﷺ, he did not say that his hijrah is valid or accepted or successful. And from the benefits of this hadith is that if a person performs an action for the sake of Allah sincerely with ikhlas, the reward is guaranteed and written. And if a person does an action for the sake of a worldly benefit, like migrating, like going from one country to another country for business or marriage, then perhaps his move will be successful or maybe will not be successful. So how many people have moved from one land to another land to set up a business? And perhaps that business is successful, and perhaps the business is unsuccessful. Or a person moves from one land to another land for marriage, and perhaps that marriage is successful, or perhaps the marriage is not successful. So anybody who does an action for the dunya, the reward is restricted to the dunya. And perhaps a person attains the reward of the dunya, the worldly benefit, or perhaps a person does not attain the worldly benefit. But a person who did an action for the sake of Allah, for the sake of the hereafter, the reward is guaranteed. And this is why there is a difference in wording. And of course, this hadith, it does not mean that it is not permitted for a person to move from one land to another land for the sake of business or for the sake of education or for marriage. This is something which is permitted. But the Prophet ﷺ is clarifying the reward. That if you migrate for the sake of Allah, for the sake of the Prophet, for the hereafter, the reward is guaranteed. Because your action was sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah. And if you migrate for a worldly benefit, and this is permitted, your potential reward is restricted to your intention, i.e. restricted to the dunya, and perhaps you will be successful, and perhaps you will not be successful. And many of the ulama, many of the scholars, they often begin their writings with this hadith. Like Al-Imam An-Nawawi Rahimullah did with Riyadu Salihin. The first chapter he mentioned was the chapter of a sincere intention. And also in his other compilation, Al-Arba'un An-Nawawiyyah, the 40 hadith, he began the first hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And also Al-Imam Al-Bukhari Rahimahullah, he began his Sahih, the first hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And there are other examples of this. And the reason why the scholars do this is to remind themselves why they have written this book, and to remind themselves to purify their intention and have a sincere intention. And notice in this hadith, how these three people, the one who migrated for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, and the one who migrated for a worldly benefit, and the one who migrated for marriage, their action is the same. It is hijrah. It is migrating from one land to another land. So what is the difference between them? Their intention. The first one intended Allah and His Messenger and the hereafter, and therefore His reward is guaranteed. And the second and the third example, the person intended with the same action, but he intended a worldly benefit or marriage, and therefore his reward is not guaranteed, and if it occurs or it is attained, it is restricted to the dunya alone, because this is what he intended. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are according to the intentions. The niyyah, the intention, it plays two important roles. The niyyah differentiates between ibadat and adat. Ibadat are acts of worship, and adat, they are our worldly actions, our worldly customs, for which there is no reward or no punishment. Something that we do for merely for a worldly benefit. And these are of course permitted. As long as the action is permitted, it is allowed for you to do the action, and there is no reward and there is no punishment attached to it. However, the niyyah, the intention, this differentiates whether this action is an ibadah or whether it is adah, whether it is worship, and therefore you are rewarded for it by Allah, or whether it is a merely worldly action. And to make it clear, here's an example. A person wakes up in the morning and has a shower, a ghusl. And it is the same shower which a person has, the same ghusl. However, one person with the same action is permitted to pray his salah with this shower, and another person is not permitted to pray the salah with the shower, even though the action is the same. So why is this person allowed to pray salah with a shower, and the second person not allowed to pray salah with a shower, even though it's the same action? Because of the intention. So the first person behind this shower or behind this ghusl, he intended that this is ghusl, this is a shower which I am taking, it's going to be my wudu, and I'm going to pray my salah with this ghusl. The second person did not intend a ghusl. He only intended to refresh himself up because he is going to work. So the niyyah, the intention, this differentiated between whether this shower is ghusl or whether it is merely refreshing up and an action of the dunya. And I give this example to emphasize a very important point, and that is that all of us, we wake up in the morning and we have a shower, and then sometimes people pray their salah having had that shower without making wudu again. Is this action permitted or not? And it goes back to your niyyah, your intention. So if you took that shower in the morning with the intention of ghusl, that this is a ghusl which I am performing, and I'm going to pray my salawat with this purification, then your salah is valid. However, if you took the shower and you did not intend ghusl, it was merely getting ready for work, and you had no intention that this is ghusl, then the prayer is not valid, and you have to perform wudu before you pray your salah. So this shows us the importance of niyyah, being conscious of the actions which you are doing. Are you doing it for the sake of Allah as a form of worship, ibadah, or is it a merely worldly action? So the niyyah, this differentiates between ibadat and adat, between acts of worship and between worldly actions, even if the action is the same in its apparent form. Secondly, the niyyah, it differentiates between ibadat wal ibadat. It differentiates between the acts of worship. So for example, you have two people and both of them are praying two raka'at. However, one of them, they two raka'at is Salat al-Fajr, for example, and another person, the two raka'at are the Sunnah of al-Fajr. Even though both of them are praying two rak'at, the same action, the same amount of time, facing the same qibla with the same recitation. However, there's a difference between them both. And that is that one of them intended the fard prayer and the other one intended a nafl prayer. And what was the difference between both of them? Their intention. So this shows us the two main roles that the niyyah plays. Firstly, the niyyah differentiates between ibadat and aadat, acts of worship, and your aadat, your worldly actions. And also the niyyah differentiates between the ibadat. And also the intention differentiates between the ibadat in terms of how much reward a person attains. Also, the salaf, the pious predecessors, the great scholars who came before us, the righteous imams, they used to mention a principle, and this principle is very important in our lives. They used to say, عِبَادَاتُ أَهْلِ الْغَفْلَةِ عَادَاتُ وَعَادَاتُ أَهْلُ الْإِخْلَاصِ عِبَادَاتُ. They used to say that the acts of worship, the ibadat, which are performed by the people of negligence, they are aadat. They are merely customs, worldly customs, and habitual actions or habitual practices. Ibadatu ahlil ghaflati aadat. The acts of worship, which are performed by the people of negligence, they are merely aadat. There is no reward in it for them. And then they would say, wa aadatu ahlil ikhlas ibadah. And as for the worldly actions of the people of sincerity, they are worship, they are ibadah. And what does this mean? This means that the people of negligence, the heedless people, because they do not have sincerity in what they do, and because they do not have a pure intention, even their acts of worship, even their ibadat, they are not rewarded for them. Because the ibadat, the acts of worship, they are merely worldly actions. Either because their intention is not sincere, because they desire a worldly reward for the action which they are doing, or because they are performing this act of worship as a mere habit, as a habitual routine, without making and having a sincere intention, without really desiring the reward of Allah. And therefore, even the acts of worship which they do, because they are negligent in terms of their intention and their sincerity, their acts of worship, it becomes aada. It becomes merely a habitual routine which they are performing, like a ritual without any sincerity or intention or love or fear behind it. And then compare this to the people of sincerity. The people of ikhlas, even their worldly actions, but because they have a sincere intention behind their worldly actions, this becomes ibadah for them. And they are rewarded for their worldly actions. Like, for example, working and school, university, and living with family. And not only their actions, but like we mentioned in the previous lessons, even their inactions, even their sleeping and their resting and their relaxation and their socialization, their socializing with their family, even this becomes an act of worship for them. And the difference is that which takes place in the heart, the intention. And how can the rest of a person and the sleep of a person and the relaxation of a person be an act of worship? If the intention is sincere. So if a person sleeps at night with the intention to regain energy to wake up in the morning and pray Fajr and pray Salah and go out and work, this becomes an act of worship. So if a person sleeps for the mere reason of sleeping, it's a worldly action. And there's nothing wrong with this. But the people of ikhlas and the people of taqwa, they remember Allah and they make their intention sincere even when it comes to sleeping. And they intend that this sleeping which I am doing, it is in order to wake up tomorrow morning in order to worship Allah again. and to fulfill my duties and to fulfill my obligations. And then even every minute and every hour they spend sleeping, this becomes an act of worship. And this is why in Islam, the concept of ibadah, the concept of worship, it is not restricted to only the masjid, for example. It is not restricted to only salah or sawm. Of course, as-salah and as-sawm and as-zakah and al-hajj and al-hijab, these are the greatest acts of ibadah in our religion. So this isn't to diminish the importance of as-salah and as-zakah and so on and so forth. However, the understanding and the concept of ibadah, of worship in Islam, it is not restricted to this alone. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned actions which me or you may belittle. However, he considered them to be acts of worship. So the Prophet ﷺ, he spoke about smiling being an act of worship. And he spoke about removing a harmful object from the path as being an act of worship. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, تَعْدِلُ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ صَدَقَةً, that if you rectify between two people, this is considered to be an act of sadaqah, charity, worship, an act of reward. He said, وَتُعِينُ الرَّجُلُ فِي دَابَتِهِ, and if you help a person with their mode of transport, this is an act of worship. أو تَرْفَعُ لَهُ عَلَيْهَا مَتَاعَةً, and if you carry the luggage of a person and place it in the car, place it on the camel, this is an act of worship. وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةً, and a good, pleasant word, this is sadaqah, this is charity, this is an avenue of reward, this is sadaqah. وَبِكُلِّ خُطْوَةٍ تَمْشِيهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةً, and every step which you take to the salah is sadaqah. وَتُمِيطُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةً, and if you remove any harmful object, like litter for example, if you pick it up from the street or the road, this is sadaqah. This is charity, it is an act of reward, it is worship. So notice in this hadith, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned worldly actions. So helping somebody with their transport, helping somebody with their luggage, helping somebody by removing litter from the road or a harmful object from the path, all of these are worldly actions. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned them as being sadaqah, as charity and an avenue of reward and a form of worship. But when do they become an act of worship for you? When you rectify your intention. So if you smile at the face of a person in order to please Allah, this now becomes an action of the akhirah, not an action of the dunya. And if you socialize with your neighbor but for the sake of Allah, then this now becomes an act of worship. And if you remove litter from the road or the street for the sake of Allah, because this pleases Allah, this now becomes an act of worship. And if you refrain from throwing litter upon the street and you refrain for the sake of Allah, this becomes an act of worship. So this principle, which is central to our lives, ibadatu ahli al-ghaflati ada, the acts of worship which are performed by the people of negligence, those people don't have sincerity in their heart, these are merely habits which they are performing. وَعَادَاتُ أَهْلِ الْإِخْلَاسِ عِبَادَةً, and the worldly actions of the people of sincerity, the people of taqwa, these are considered to be acts of worship. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ikhlas, for sincerity in every act and every statement. We ask Allah subhanahu to protect and preserve each person, and that Allah removes from us the situation that we are in. هذا والله أعلم وبالله التوفيق وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.